Good day. You are listening to a special interview series hosted by Free City Radio that is taking place in collaboration with a conference and concert in Montreal called Music and Anti-Fascism: Reflections on the Past and Possibilities in the Present. So this is an interview series that I'm hosting in collaboration with this conference. I'm Stefan Christophe and host Free City Radio. We, of course, are a weekly radio program and podcast. This interview series is basically conversations I've had with artists reflecting on their own creative practice, but also their relationship to activism. These interviews feature musicians who are joining a concert in July 2022 as part of this conference. And I wanted to take the opportunity to speak with artists about their practice, their work, and the intersections between their musical ideas and their musical practices and activism within this time of urgency when it comes to struggles for justice, when it comes to struggles against fascism internationally. It was great to get to record these interviews with an awesome set of artists here in the city, in Montreal. We will now go to an interview that I did with Sunk Heaven, who is being involved in the DIY art scene in Brooklyn, in New York City more generally, for many years. We talked about creative practice and the importance of carving out space for racialized musicians and artists, and also the idea of disruption in the music world and sort of relocating patterns of power, how DIY art spaces can open up the possibilities for a more diverse space in terms of sound, in terms of practice, but also artistic representation. I will let the interview speak for itself. It was really a pleasure to speak with Sunk Heaven. Here's our exchange.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, first, could you just introduce yourself and speak a bit about maybe your musical practice, but also I'm sure that your music practice is related to your role in community arts organizing in Brooklyn.
My name is Austin Slay Julian. I perform as Sunk Heaven, amongst other various projects. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I have been involved with like experimental arts, like underground kind of music community for, for most of my life. I'm 32. So for like 15 years or so, you know, in my practice as a performer, I feel like I'm kind of trying to frame the duality of kind of like harshness and softness within the same gestures. So, more abstractly and artistically, I'd say that's kind of where my music is coming from. Subject matter wise, I think just, the general heaviness and lightness of emotion, the dichotomies of like my position within race and, just my position within American culture and the chiseling away of American culture at those that are under the thumb is super important to vocalize within my art in general. I also make visual art and these subjects are unavoidable and important for me to bring forward. So,
well, like, let's pick up on that because there's a lot there. When you talk about harshness and softness, I mean, those are big terms, and I hear both of them a lot. I did hear that in your music. I really appreciate you outlining that. I would imagine that in your community practice, both as an artist performer, but also as an organizer, there needs to be a lot of compassion and sort of heartfelt presence to sustain, especially like DIY spaces are very fragile in many ways, both financially, socially, but then also to be sort of firm or resolute about maintaining an awareness of structural injustice, systemic racism, the financialization of space. I mean, that's a huge thing in Brooklyn. Any thoughts about those points?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's something that is really pertinent for me right now, is like trying to find space in a city that really has become the playground for occupiers, and like, you know, trying to open that up is very difficult. I work for a venue right now. My job is to work for Trans Pecos, which is like not necessarily a DIY space, but it has history of being a DIY space, and like is a platform for people. And within that job, I'm like definitely trying to open up spaces and opportunities for people to, you know, share music. And also, yeah, I think like a lot of spaces, the economics really overpower the culture, and there's like a very like steep pyramid of, you know, just within a lot of the social scenes that are popular in New York. I think that there's no room for people to really move up or really gain access. You're like either outside or you're inside, and I see this happen a lot. That's just like a, you know, cultural problem. And I think like within Sunk Heaven, I don't know, I tend to be an instigator, so I can't like kind of, you know, playfully you know, hack into that and shatter the things that people feel. I think like the complacency comfort that comes with like these kind of flatline scenes and these kind of flatline sentiments within, yeah, I don't know, within New York, I feel like people feel very comfortable just doing the same thing and seeing the same people play the same thing over and over. But I think they would probably do well to see something new and different and challenging at the very least. So I try to be challenging and, you know, truthful and honest, I guess, within art. And I feel like that's all anyone can really do to like raise someone's eyebrows at the very least, if not get them to either love it or hate it, you know. I don't know.
The really intense thing about New York specifically, but I think similar social, economic, political patterns play out in other places, is the fact that sort of cultural images of the city and the projection of city identity by the highest levels of power depends heavily on the experimentation and labor of artists, musicians, working and experimenting and trying things. This is like a huge part of how people conceptualize New York. And the sort of, you know, I think there's a lot of cynicism towards people thinking about and acknowledging the labor that's involved in that creative process, and also the lack of sort of institutional support that exists within the US and New York specifically. So yeah, any thoughts about that?
Yeah, definitely. all very heavy subjects. I think New York definitely, you know, historically has been like a harbor for artists and for artists to come and like, you know, compared to other places in America, it's like a place where you can have a life as an artist in some respect. But taking a step back, like America in general has no support for the arts, you know, like institutionally at least. But I think that there's people that are just, you know, individuals that are super excited. And I think that is something that's very like beneficial about making art in New York City and in America, is that some people that care a lot, and like people will like come out and like, you know, but it's just all reliant on small people and like institutions in America. I mean, it is really cynical if you think of it, like even big institutions, like their donors are essentially trying to hide tax money and you know, and their donations. It's not really about the care for arts at all. And it becomes very obvious as you like gain access slowly into those institutions. And I would say also, like, access and opportunity really is, you know, in like a very white dominated countercultural scene is like, is very difficult to navigate as somebody that's not within that. And like, personally, even of recent opportunities that I've gained as an artist that have taken a long time to gain, I'd say, you know, still you see these kind of dichotomies and these like differences in how you're treated and how much access and for what, you know, like for what time you get access into that and these kind of unsaid kind of rules within American institutional, you know, wealth. It's difficult to navigate, but I think ultimately, like as a human being, I just am really, I worship the sound and the concept, and everything else needs to come into play for me to survive and eat and everything, but is not, I'm not, I could play stasis within a room of like 10 or 12 people and still be true to the form of the air that Sun Kevin, you know, relies on, I guess, if that makes sense.
There's a levity to the tracks. I listened to some, and there's like a playfulness to the music, and there's an intensity of, you know, and I'm sure it's coming from all sorts of places, but do you find levity in the creation process and in the performance process? Is that a big thing for you? I think often people maybe who might be listening to this who are considering like a musical practice, because, you know, there's that whole network that's come around for this conference in Montreal on the role of music in confronting fascism and racism. To sustain those types of struggles, there needs to be like moments of levity and creation that aren't just simply boxed into slogans. And I felt both things existing in your work.
Yeah, I think in terms of the like musical process, there's a lot of levity. It's like super rewarding, and that's how music kind of should be. It should feel very like satisfying. It shouldn't be, you know, like a it shouldn't be too much of a painful process. I mean, I think you should challenge yourself and push yourself forward, but you know, I think like the, especially with the noise music, the idea of like an aesthetic like hermit like noise musician that's like, you know, like grueling on every point of creation. It's like, it should be, you know, it should be fun. But I also think like there's certain heavy subjects that are hard to express in words for me that are important to express through sound. And for other people, their sound fun might come out differently, and that's totally fine. There's room for everything. But personally, I deal with those concepts and articulate them through music. Not that I can't completely articulate them verbally, but there's things I can't express, and the music makes sense for it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak today.
Yeah, of course. Do you have time to like clarify one thing about the statement that I kind of made before? I just had a thought, and then I'm sorry. I know if you have to.
Oh no, please.
I just wanted to say, just in terms of, like playing in a room to like 12 or whatever people, I think what I was trying to articulate more so is like my alienation from the like kind of institutional, like kind of hierarchy, though like professionally and as like an adult, like makes sense. Like I can take it or leave it because, I, you know, there's a world outside of that. And I think like as a creator, like, you know, any kind of like social creator, like any kind of like compassionate, creative human being, there's a world that lives outside of that pragmatic hand to mouth thing. And that will always be my crutch and my lens, and everything else kind of happens or doesn't happen. I'm here like to perform to human beings. So I'll continue to try to do that. But yeah, I don't scuff my feet too much about not being involved in institutions, as much as I feel like being a musician for 15 years, like would maybe harbor for some, it's all good. I appreciate everything that comes my way. And, you know, we'll keep doing this until I die. So yeah. Anyway, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
Element. Earth. Archetype. Earth Mother. Demon. Fear. Place. Coccygeal plexus. Lay down. Take the time to move while landing in the body and in the space. Become more aware of how it all feels. Slow down. Follow and expand the movement of the breath as it rises and falls. Let this be a basis for following and expanding movement through the body and into space. Continuously expand and land while observing and feeling the body and the space.